One day, the knowledge of the Lord is going to cover the earth like the waters of the ocean, and He is coming. And I just want to invite you for just a moment to think with me about Galatians chapter 4 and how Christmas is the right time for treasure giving and receiving. Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year. That's how the song goes, right? The most wonderful time of the year. But maybe we kind of want to keep this behind the curtain. But maybe you're feeling the hustle and the bustle of the season. And you've been giving your time to this and to that. It's busy times. It's some tough times. But I invite you to prayerfully just still your soul and to worship Christ, because Christmas is the right time for treasure giving and receiving. And just listen to the word of the Lord in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Friends, the good news of Christmas is right here for such a time as this. God has given us His greatest gift in Christ. Can you say with 2 Corinthians 9:15, but thanks be to God for His indescribable, His beyond description gift? Imagine a boy, a young boy born into the most tragic and desperate of conditions. This boy was born into human slavery in a land ravaged by warfare. And because of the horrifying casualties of war, this boy was soon orphaned. So that from his earliest memories, he could never remember anyone really caring about what happened to him. The boy did the best he could to fend for himself any way he could, but he was a sickly child and getting sicker every day. There was no way he could bear his workload. And no one in his village would help him. As long as he lived, he could be nothing more than an orphan slave boy. And he knew he was really already a goner. In the absence of all hope, the boy could only wait for the inevitable. But then everything changed. The conquering king came right into the boy's village, saw the boy's despair, and moved with compassion, he scooped the boy up into his arms. And then the king promised the boy from that moment forward, he would always be royalty. He would no longer be an orphaned slave. The king offered to make this boy his own legal heir and adopted son. And the boy was amazed, speechless. Now he would receive the very best care from the royal doctors and the very best training from the royal tutors. And that very day was the day that that orphan slave boy became a prince, a precious son of the king, an heir to the entire wealth of the kingdom. And I know, rags to riches stories like this seem unlikely. And yet, on this Christmas morning, we remember that this story maps onto the beautiful reality that is assured by God's gospel to every child of God. And I pray this story is your story because of the loving kindness of the Heavenly Father. Bible teacher Sinclair Ferguson, I love how God has used him in my own life, so thankful. But he wrote in his book, Children of the Living God, he wrote, quote, the notion that we are children of God is the mainspring of Christian living. Our sonship to God is the apex of creation and the goal of redemption. Well said. And these words that we read from Galatians 4, 4 to 7, they often find their way into our Christmas cards. But the truth of Galatians 4, it's no Hallmark fantasy. This is the truth of lives changed forever by the gift that we gain from God in Christ Jesus. It's the greatest gift, and it's saving grace for all kinds of people. That's what we celebrate on Christmas. Indeed, it's for everyone who's exclusively relying on Jesus Christ for eternal life. You know, in the original context, Paul is writing this letter to carefront the Galatian churches because there's a growing problem. Many were being fooled by fake news from the imposter gospel Judaizers, false teachers who wanted to make following Jesus an exclusively Jewish thing, really their own thing. They were pressing people with a legalistic and spiritual treadmill view of, you know, being accepted with God, following Moses' law. Just stay on that treadmill. Just keep chugging. They were requiring circumcision ritual and the kosher diet and the religious calendar to be kept, all the things, all the Jewish things, as the necessary conditions for gaining salvation, blessing, and Messiah. And really, it's that old demonic lie that's very much around, that you can do enough good works to be good enough for God and for God's heavenly reward. And the Apostle Paul is writing Galatians to say, hey, no way! Right? The gospel's not Jesus plus something you bring to the table. The gospel is Jesus plus nothing. It's reliance on Christ alone. And the bad news is that you can never be good enough. But the good news is God gives you all you need through faith in Jesus plus nothing else. The old is gone. The new has arrived in Jesus. He's the promised Messiah. He came to do for us what we can't do for ourselves. And aren't you glad that faith in Jesus makes all kinds of people, male and female people, young and old people, true heirs of kingdom treasure, and the beloved sons of God, as Paul writes here to the Galatians? It's the spiritual blessing of sonship in Christ that identifies you, church, as the true offspring of Father Abraham and not your ancestry.com profile. Because as Paul says here in this book, Christ is the promised seed of Abraham. And that's why we can all sing, Father Abraham has many sons. Many sons has Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So we could keep going with that, right? Like we did in children's ministry so many times. When are the parents coming? Keep the song going. But we remember Jesus. He is the one who makes us clean and gives us a new identity and the blessings of sonship in this forever family of God. We gain all the legal rights of our inheritance because this is God's promise. Sonship guarantees inheritance. You think about that young boy in my story, born of a slave but adopted into an extremely wealthy and royal family, and now no longer a slave. And yet, as long as the boy is small, he's underage, his life kind of resembles in the confines of slavery that he's known, in the sense that he's going to be supervised, right? He's going to have legal guardians, adult tutors or pedagogues who are going to take charge until the boy grows up. Only then, on the day set by the father, does he get to experience the fullness of his royal inheritance. And you might know in ancient Roman culture, a rightful heir was supervised by tutors that were called pedagogues until age 14, I know we have some pedagogues here, some people in pedagogy, teachers. And after the age 14, then there was still the authority of family-appointed trustees until about the age 25. And only then could the heir freely exercise the inheritance rights of sonship. And just think about before Jesus, Messiah, came, how believers for centuries longed for the full freedom of God's promised inheritance, the blessings that only Messiah brings. Before Jesus comes into our life by his grace gift, we're stuck in our old ways, our pagan ways, our self-centered, sinful default mode ways. But can you say this Christmas morning, that's in my past? I remember when I was blinded, I was in bondage to this devil's deception, but no longer. And if you can say that, then why would we ever want to live a second longer under the slavery of self-reliance instead of leaning into our freedom, the sonship we have in Christ, who came, as Paul writes here, according to God's perfectly timed plan. I've just been thinking this week about how meticulous God is. Like, nothing is left out of his plan, right? The taxation, every detail. And he says here, Paul affirms in verse 4, when the set time arrived in all its fullness, God sent his son. Green light. This is the time. In the gospel record, we hear the Father speak over Jesus. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. And this Christmas morning, we need to remind ourselves, God is God. Gloriously God, and we are not. We always need him, and his timing is always perfect, and at just the right time, God sent Jesus in the glory of Christ's incarnation. The Word made flesh, as Mike read for us. Full divinity and full humanity. God with skin on. And just look at the text here in Galatians 4. He was supernaturally conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of a woman. That young virgin woman who bore Jesus, we well know, was Mary. And how Mary rejoiced that the fullness of time had come, because she was one of those longing before the angel ever came to her. And she rejoiced that it would be her son who had come to save his people from their sins. How she rejoiced and how she relied on Jesus to save her from her own sin. She obeyed God's word and she treasured up the truth about Jesus in her heart. And Jesus, like all humans, was also born into a world, Paul says, under the law. He was, like us, obligated to keep God's way, not turning to the right or to the left, no deviation. But Jesus, unlike every other human being ever, kept exactly to God's way. His perfect life fulfilled God's law, and he proved himself to be God's Lamb. That's what those Bethlehem mangers were for, right? Tending to the lambs that would be used for sacrifice in the temple. He's the only one who can take away the sins of the world. And Paul says he came to redeem those under the law. He came as the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. He was born to die so that we could live. On the cross, he gave up his life to fully pay the penalty of our sin debt, and to erase the curse of our disobedience, so that, as Paul says in verse 5, we might receive adoption as sons. Though we're all born under sin slavery, through faith in Christ, the Father adopts us into the life of eternal privilege. He brings us to the table. This gift of sonship, this greatest gift, means that we are accepted in the Beloved. The Father looks at us just that way, accepted in the Beloved. He says of you, Christian, my brother and sister, this is my beloved one. People of Christ's cross, we're the people of his promise. And this is the gift of certain hope. And that's why whatever struggle we're up against, whatever grief may be on our minds on this Christmas morning, whatever longings, we can say the best is yet to come in Christ. Amen. And it's this gospel, it's this good news hope that we celebrate. The manger is empty. And the cross is empty. And go to that tomb, it's empty. But the kingdom throne is occupied by Jesus forever. And brothers and sisters, we are united in him. And this is everything. And the warning is, don't fall for a counterfeit Christmas. Because Christmas is the right time for treasure giving and receiving. At the right time, God sent his treasure, his son. His name is Jesus, salvation. So let's receive him, Christ the Lord. Let's live in the true spirit of Christmas, which is the spirit of Jesus. Aren't you glad he didn't leave us alone? He didn't leave us to ourselves. He gives us God the Holy Spirit to guide us. And the Spirit he gives us, it's the Spirit's job to open our eyes and to make much of Jesus. That's why we're still here. And again, the flip side of sonship is that the Heavenly Father looks upon us as his own beloved children. He welcomes us to come right up to him, right? I almost cried during an away in the manger just because I was thinking the love of God, our Father. He looks at us, the standing of Jesus. He prompts our faith to lean into his promise and to call out to him, Abba, you know, Father. And we are eagerly welcomed by the Father in the standing of the Son. That's what union of Christ with Christ means. And again, it's not a gender thing. It's not a male-female thing. It's the gift of a right relationship with the Father. And as we follow with the Spirit step by step, we too cry out from the depths of our being with full confidence that his love is an everlasting love. He says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Who's got it better than us? We have the best gifts ever. And yeah, father figures may disappoint, but not our Heavenly Father. He provides perfectly. And so, church, we call out Abba as an expression of our affection. The Spirit assures us we're never going to wear out our welcome. Spirit says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. We're no longer relating to the Father as slaves to be judged, condemned under sin's curse. We're the rightfully adopted heirs of his kingdom. We receive full inheritance rights and now and forevermore as we await the return of our true King. Who's got it better than us? What's better than the treasure of eternal security and sonship in Christ? And if it was on us, you know, if it was on our treadmill performance, if you could lose your place of sonship, you would. You can never be good enough on your own, but through faith in Christ, you're never going to be treated as anyone else except the one the Father wants to hear saying, Abba, Father. Christmas is the right time for treasure giving, and it's the right time for treasure receiving. This is our time to treasure Jesus over everything, God's indescribably great gift. And if you have received Jesus as Lord in Christ, if you're relying on him, then he invites you to celebrate this Christmas with the gospel symbols of the bread and the cup in the communion of our Lord's table. Though we are unfaithful, we may come. We may adore him because Christ is the faithful one. We come accepted in the beloved. We come because Jesus, God's Son, came at just the right time for to do what we could never do for ourselves. And so as we prepare to celebrate our communion in Christ, we remember, we proclaim the gift of his life and death and resurrection. And we come and adore him on this Christmas day. I want to just take a moment, if we could just take a moment of silence as we think on these things. Truly receive this gospel into your heart. Preach it afresh to yourself today. If you have never believed, what a great day to become one of his. And in the silence, just think about those that God has put in your life. And maybe your heart is heavy. Grief. Remembrance. It's our remembrance of Christ that makes the promise true, that fills us with hope. Just a moment of silence, and then we'll lift our voices and we'll sing, and we'll pass out the bread and the cup, and then we will receive it together as we give thanks. Amen. Let us sing.
Holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. In sin and error, and he appeared, and the soul found its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious. King of kings, Christ in lowly manger, in all our trials, born to be our friend. He knows our need, to our weakness is no stranger. Behold your King in your hand, in lowly bed. Behold your King before him lowly bed. He taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy, in grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise his holy name. Thus is the Lord. Oh, praise his name forever. His power and glory forever. More proclaim his power and glory. Yeah. More proclaim.
When the hour came, he reclined at table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. And on this Christmas morning, our Father in heaven, we praise you that we are accepted in the beloved, that you welcome us to your table, that you give us communion in Christ the Lord. We thank you for gifts that are beyond our description, but we thank you for revealing to us at just the right time in our own lives that Christ is the treasure. And we receive you afresh this morning. We remember you in the symbols of this bread and this cup. Remember your sacrifice. We proclaim the value of it and it alone to save us, to give us eternal life. We long to see you face to face. But until you come, keep us faithful and fill our hearts with joy. The joy of the Lord that passes all human understanding, that surpasses all of our circumstances, that fixes our gaze on you, Jesus. We take this bread and this cup in remembrance of him.